It is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Join us at noon for Wisconsin's 41st official tribute and ceremony honoring the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. It is a virtual program due to COVID. The theme is Together as One and includes highlights from past ceremonies featuring author and civil rights advocate Michelle Alexander. Governor Evers will present the 2021 MLK Heritage Awards. Hosted by WPR's own Dr. Jonathan Overby. That is today at noon. Hope you can join us on Wisconsin Public Radio and at WPR.org. Now we're looking at the work of the Department of Safety and Professional Services in the pandemic. It's an agency that regulates hundreds of occupational licenses. Think physicians, engineers, accountants, tattoo artists, real estate brokers, the list goes on. It's also in the process of updating building codes. Are you licensed through DSPS? Are you a contractor or in the trades? What do you want to know about the changing building codes? 800-642-1234. Don Krim is Secretary Designee of the Department of Safety and Professional Services. Secretary Krim, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, let's take a moment here on this MLK Day to gather your thoughts about the legacy, about the work we're doing today, and reflections on what you've seen the last year.
Well, you know, I would say when you think about Dr. Martin Luther King and his message and his standing for peace as well as service, I think this past year with dealing with the COVID pandemic and other civic unrest, it really calls for peace and calls for service, because all of us have a role to play, whether it's our own individual responsibilities or whether it's helping others. And so I think as we think about his legacy, that's what I take most from it.
With the Black Lives Matter protests across the nation and globally, we saw employers pledging to be more inclusive, more aware. How have you seen this, be carried out in our state government?
Well, I am glad you brought that up. When you think about awareness around diverse concerns, when you have many perspectives at the table providing input on best policy, best workplaces, how we can best support one another in this work, diversity matters. And so Governor Evers last year signed Executive Order 59 that asked state government to really examine diversity, equity, and inclusion practices across state government so that we can support one another better and be more responsive to the citizens of Wisconsin by bringing multiple perspectives to get at the best policy and to provide opportunities where maybe they have not existed previously, they can now exist because we're ever mindful of it.
You've lived in Wisconsin 25, 26 years or so. You didn't expect to stay, when you got here and you've made your life here. How could our state attract and retain more professionals of color?
Well, I think first and foremost is about welcoming people, understanding that, yes, there is a culture, there is how Wisconsinites live, but understanding that there are many cultures and there's room and space for other perspectives. And so if we are to respond to changing times, you have to change a bit. And so as we welcome newcomers to the state, we look at what they have to offer. How can they help us move things forward? And so I would say most and foremost, being open and welcoming to learning and hearing different voices to see how we can do better work together.
Let's shift gears a bit here and look at COVID. What has DSPS done since COVID in terms of the work that you're trying to do as an agency?
Well, I got to tell you, it has been quite a year, quite a year for all Wisconsinites. But I would say I'm so proud of the work that our staff has done. Back in April, to make the pivot to remote work, we have been as busy as ever doing a lot. COVID has impacted almost all aspects of the work that we do. When you think about our over a million license holders, some of the impacts that they experienced in terms of being able to simply do their work safely, we've had to ensure that they're able to do their work safely. So a lot of times when people are in professions, they need to be licensed, as you know. Well, license renewals happen every year or 2 years or so, and our partners at testing centers around the country had closed due to COVID, so we had to think about new ways to support the licensed workforce. So we were able to delay license renewals. We were able to help financially by reducing renewal fees where it made sense. We were able to waive late renewal fees where it made sense. We were able to hold on some of our recent graduates, especially those in healthcare fields that may need some testing to get started. We were able to push some of those deadlines ahead. And then when you think about just the overall response to the workforce, especially when you think about health, we knew our state, like many others, needed help. So we were able to make adjustments in licensing requirements, allowing individuals in good standings from other states to come and receive temporary licenses in a quick an expedited way. We were able to bring those who had retired within the last 5 years back into the workforce, allowing them to obtain temporary licenses so that they can help with the response. And then, as many people know, the building industry is essential to the state of Wisconsin. And so we were able to continue to do our part working with the industry around the state to stay working. Construction is an essential work. And so we've been able to do things more remotely in terms of inspections to keep the customers and our staff safe. We've been able to receive electronic plans that has actually helped us be more efficient in our work. We had already been looking at a full overhaul of our planning review process. And so the electronic plans just really helped us lean in and move more quickly into those changes. And our customers have been pleased with those changes. And we've been able to be more efficient with our workforce because of doing things at a distance.
How do those remote inspections work on building sites?
Well, we actually are able to utilize our cell phones and things to actually see at a distance what is happening. That way, you don't necessarily have to be on site. Oftentimes, the customer is on site, and our staff will guide them on what they're looking for so that they're able to provide the actual visual to be able to do those inspections.
Do you think?
And we've extended, let me add this too, we've extended that beyond just the customer field, the building industry, and have been able to use it for virtual pharmacy inspection as well to get new pharmacies up and running.
Do you think those types of changes will stay in place after the pandemic, after COVID?
I definitely believe the electronic plan submission and being able to do some of those things at a distance, because it will just make things more efficiency. From the virtual inspection, that will also continue. There will be some instances where it is more prudent, of course, to be on site, and so we will differentiate the difference and make the adjustments where appropriate.
We're talking with Don Krim, Secretary Designee of the Department of Safety and Professional Services, DSPS, as it goes by. Do you pursue a professional license? What questions do you have for the head of DSPS? Join in at 800-642-1234. Secretary Krim, we heard from Eric in Green Bay, who is in the plumbing profession, and Eric wants to know what they get from the fees they pay for licenses.
Well, I'm glad Eric has asked that question. We are an agency that does not receive any state dollars, so we are all program revenue. And so when the plumbers and other building industry people are receiving their licenses and paying for those fees. They are paying for plan reviews. They are paying for any type of work that we are doing when it comes to updating building codes, when we're looking at inspections. And so any response that is occurring from our staff around any building concerns and industries, those fees pay for that work.
And these licensures are in hundreds of areas.
Actually, all 72 counties. There are license holders everywhere in our state. What I appreciate about the depth and breadth of the work of our agency is we touch nearly one in three Wisconsinites with the work that we do.
Some healthcare workers came from out of state, as you mentioned. What kind of systems had to be put in place in order to be able to get these nurses and respiratory therapists and, you know, many other people at work in Wisconsin?
Well, you know, it was a heavy lift. We had to simultaneously process licenses in our normal way through all the steps that we utilize. But then in bringing people from out of state, we had to look at some reciprocity agreements and then how we can know the difference between that workforce and our current workforce. And that's why the temporary licenses were established. So we are able to keep a close eye on requirements and when licenses are done just in terms of processes, but it was twofold. And so we actually had to have our workforce do double duty, which, as you can imagine, has been tough. But we realized when needing to respond to a pandemic that has never happened in my lifetime, we needed to be flexible. We needed to see how we might relax some of the fees to get people working much more quickly. And so that's how we were able to do it.
We're talking with the Secretary Designee of the Department of Safety and Professional Services, DSPS. Don Krim is with us. Do you face obstacles with your licensing? What did you do to get a license in your profession? What do you want to know about the future of our state building codes pertaining to energy efficiency? Join in 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Back for more State Cap in just a minute. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. On this Martin Luther King Jr. Day, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. Let's get back to our conversation with the Secretary Designee of the Department of Safety and Professional Services, Don Krim. DSPS, it licenses the vast majority of our state's healthcare providers, physicians, nurses, pharmacists, respiratory therapists, and early on in the pandemic, as we've been talking about, DSPS brought more flexibility to the healthcare system so licensed health professionals from other states could help with Wisconsin's COVID surge. Secretary, the Pharmacy Examining Board falls under your DSPS umbrella. Last week, the board suspended the license of a pharmacist accused of ruining more than 500 doses of COVID vaccines because he thought it was unsafe. Where is DSPS in this investigation?
Thank you for sharing that. We, like all Wisconsinites, are concerned because we are trying to make sure that people can get vaccinated and have safety. And so where we are in that investigation is, it's, as you know, it's ongoing, so I can't comment specifically on the case. You did mention that the pharmacist's license has been suspended, and that is pending the outcome of the criminal and disciplinary proceedings. And so our investigators are working through the disciplinary process, and that is happening simultaneously as the criminal investigation also takes place.
What is the role of DSPS in its relationship with the Pharmacy Examining Board? How do you work with this board and others like it?
And so what we do is our staff is really the workforce for the boards. The pharmacy board in this particular case has quite a bit of statutory latitude to make decisions about licenses and situations like this. Our agency does the collecting of the materials, all of the information that the board needs on hand to make whatever decision they reach. So we are the investigators and then we collaborate with those boards so that they have all the information they need to make the decisions.
How are board members appointed?
Board members are appointed through the governor's office. And what we do is we work closely with our board members and talk with them about what is missing, looking at different perspectives that could really help statewide to make the best decisions possible. And then we encourage those people to apply. There's also normally one or two public members who are not in the profession, but maybe who access those services that also can bring that perspective.
We heard from Brian in Eau Claire, called in, couldn't stay with us, and Brian wants to know how license fees are set. Brian is a speech language pathologist and notices that other professions, including occupational therapists and MDs, have much lower fees.
Brian, thank you for that question. Our fees are set by the amount of work that it entails to actually review the licenses. And so, again, we try to charge just what we need to do the necessary work. There's different statutory requirements per different licenses. And so, the processing time and people power that it takes to do that work is how the license is then licensing fee is then set.
Last month, DSPS received a nearly $2 million federal grant from the Justice Department to improve the state enhanced prescription drug monitoring program. Can you explain this program and what these dollars will do?
Yes, we were so thrilled to receive that grant because, as you know, and many have read in the papers, unfortunately, our opioid abuse pandemic does continue. And it continues during this pandemic because people are concerned, people are struggling. And to access the services that they need, the PDMP can help in that response. And the way it helps in that response is we realize when people are in pain, there is medication that should be taken, but that medication should be taken responsibly. And so what the prescription drug monitoring program does is it helps doctors ensure that patients are getting the right dosage that they need and are not being overprescribed. And so the monitoring programs helps doctors, EMTs, police, emergency personnel access records at their fingertips for those who are using prescription drugs to ensure that they're getting what they need, ensuring that they do not overprescribe so that we all can monitor what is needed. And so it's a network of medical information that works closely with our medical record system to ensure that people are getting just what they need. And so what the grant will help us do is reach out with partners, especially those providers that are not networked with some of the updated electronic software systems that may have more trouble accessing that information, logging into patient records. We can actually help them do it in a more efficient way that may not be overall networked to the big systems.
We're talking with Don Krim, Secretary Designee of the Department of Safety and Professional Services, looking at the work of the department, especially amid COVID, and taking your questions. Are you a contractor? What has it been like to review your plans amid the pandemic? How do you feel about submitting them? 800-642-1234. Let's take a look at building codes now. And you're currently updating our state's building codes. What is behind this effort?
Well, with building codes, you really want to ensure that you stay up to date so that you can take advantage of especially new sustainable practices. So when you think about efficiencies, you want to, if your building codes are up to date, you're able to take advantage of the best and most sustainable practices in building codes and usage. So, for example, Here in Fitchburg, they have just built the Forest Edge Elementary School that is actually going to be the first net zero school in Wisconsin. And essentially, what that means is it produces more energy than it uses. Up-to-date building codes are utilizing the best efficiency rates of HVAC, how to heat and cool the building, and just how to use minimal energy to support the usage of the building. And so when you have the most up-to-date codes, you're getting the most efficiency for your dollars.
Where do you see Wisconsin's building codes lagging, out of date, or just not on par with what we need to do to stop climate change?
Well, partially is it takes, even though it sounds simple to update the building codes, but it's about a 2-year process each time there's an update, because what you're doing is evaluating the efficiency of the current code and determining how it can be improved at the next stage. And so there's national organizations that our state links to so that we can share information and move the codes forward nationwide. And so when you think about efficiencies that are being discovered every day, the new codes help us take advantage of those discoveries. So when you think about one new efficiency that's really helping in building is mass timber. It's a more sustainable building material. Well, right now, the code level that we're at does not enable us to take advantage of that sustainable building material. So in updating the code, we then would have standards that actually match that sustainable building material, therefore creating greater efficiencies in buildings that we'd be using mass timber. And an economic boom to our state would enable us to create a new industry for Wisconsin forests.
There's only a couple seconds left. Would you have to grandfather in old building code?
Yes, we would. And so it would be for new buildings going forward. And then
Okay.
any updates that would be made would then be made to the new standards.
Secretary Krim, thank you for joining us.
You're very welcome. I appreciate you having me.
Don Krim is Secretary Designee of the Department of Safety and Professional Services. Just ahead, we talk about the next group of people to be vaccinated for COVID and what a new variant could mean in battling this pandemic. What questions do you have about the COVID vaccines? Bring them 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer Kent. This is the State Capitol Report on the Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.